Ms. Ostapenko has no challenges remaining.
Welcome to No Challenges Remaining. I'm Ben Rothenberg. Though I'm still a few weeks away from finalizing the book I've been writing about Naomi Osaka, please pre-order. Now, if you want to buy it at any point, pre-orders are very helpful. Link in description here. I've been back at a tournament this week for the first time all year since the tours have rolled into Washington, my hometown, where play is happening just about a mile from where I live. I've definitely been a bit rusty being back on site, but it's been fun trying to get my sea legs back in terms of press conferences, interviews, and whatnot. During Media Day yesterday, one of those interviews was with Gael Monfils. It will be the Racquet magazine newsletter later this week. I only mention that here because I allude to it briefly at the beginning of the start of this interview for NCR, which was with Bianca Andreescu, who was nice enough to come on NCR and chat about all sorts of things in a brief chat, including the stage presence she has, which she says she gets from her mother, the positives and negatives of looking back at the amazing things she achieved in 2019 when she won Indian Wells, Toronto, and the US Open, and how she manages public and private expectations for herself going forward. Here, without further ado, is Bianca. Enjoy, folks.
Thank you for being up for this. Appreciate it.
I was chatting with Gael Monfils earlier. And I was thinking about you two in context of each other, which not the most obvious comparison maybe, but I was thinking what one of the things that stands out to me about you in comparison to him that you both have is your stage presence. I feel like, I don't know, ever since I first saw you, you have that sort of magnetism on stage. Do you recognize that in yourself, and where do you think that comes from?
Thank you. It's always nice to hear things like that. And I mean, being compared or being kind of in the same category as Gael means a lot. I mean, he's an incredible performer and athlete. So to answer that question, I mean, I've never felt like awkward or nervous in front of the camera or in front of big crowds. And my mom is pretty out there and, you know, very outgoing, and she's unapologetically herself. So I feel like I had a good role model as well growing up. I'm just a natural. I don't know. I don't want to like make it sound like
I'm giving you a chance. I'm saying like I sense that confidence in you. I'm agreeing with whatever you're going to say.
Okay.
Let's put it
at that.
Yeah. what when you say your mom is like that, what do you mean? What do you mean more by what is it like having an unapologetic mom? What does that mean?
She never like unapologetically herself. She's herself. She doesn't change for anyone. She's very outspoken. She says what she believes in, and she's not apologetic about it. And I feel that as a kid, she's always told me things like, never give up, always go for your dreams, don't settle for less, those things. And I feel like it just ingrained through my mind. I'm glad that it's transferring on the tennis court as well.
As flies attack you here.
I know.
what was this? I feel like that, not just like in terms of like showmanship, but I feel like in terms of actually hitting the ball and believing in yourself, that probably has to translate to that too.
100%. I mean, I've had some ups and downs over the years, of course, but I feel that the base is there, and that is, going for my shots, believing in myself, never giving up. But we all have bad days too at the end of the day, but I'm very grateful for that. For that base.
That base, yeah. No, definitely that baseline of what you have there. Where do you, in terms of your base, where do you feel like you are currently? We're talking right for Washington. You just had a good showing at Wimbledon, a big win over Kalinina, and then a great showing against Ons on center court. Like, what were your thoughts on the plane ride home from Wimbledon?
Yeah, I definitely felt good. Obviously, a little sad and disappointed that I couldn't close it out in the end. I obviously had my opportunities, but I feel that those matches at Wimbledon kind of brought back memories from 2019, and sometimes it's nice to go into the past because that was my best year and I was playing my best tennis too, and I feel that it was translated into my matches in Wimbledon. And yeah, I really hope that, well, at least in practice, I know competition and practice are two different things, but in practice it's been going very well, and hard court, it's my favorite surface, so I'm really hoping that it can translate to the matches.
I was reading some of your transcripts from earlier this year, and obviously you get asked about 2019 a lot, and you bring it up yourself too. And you were sort of talking about like how sometimes thinking about 2019 can make you insecure, and I guess sometimes it can inspire you. Like, so how do you find that sort of balance of insecurity versus inspiration when thinking back to 2019, Bianca? And where are you at with that right now? I guess we're in that sort of pendulum of that.
Yeah, I just remember after my 2019 season, a lot of people kept saying there's only up from here, like there's only improvement and this and that. So I felt that got into my head a little bit when I came back in 2021, because I didn't feel that I was getting better in a way. I was kind of going downhill. So thinking about it in that way is when the insecurities kind of come in. But the inspiration, I mean, no one's ever going to take that away from me. And knowing that I have that under my belt, I have to remind myself that, yes, I'm a Grand Slam champion. I beat all these top players. And it does help me. It's just, it depends where my mind's at that day.
Basically. I remember thinking about you in 2019 that, like, I had never seen you lose. Like, or, like, paid attention to a match, like, closely watch a match that you lost. Like, the first, like, maybe like even like 10 or 12 matches of yours that I like sat down and watched, like, oh, it's a big match and Bianca's in it. You won all of them, you know, from Indian Wells into Miami and then into obviously Canada and US Open, because you weren't playing that much in between. And then I guess maybe all the way up to like when you finally lost in Beijing to Naomi or something, was when I finally saw you lose that year. But like, so I was thinking of you as like invincible from the outside. Did you start to feel that way as well that year?
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I actually said in my press conference in Beijing, I think it was after the first round, I said, I feel like I can't lose. So I felt that me saying that kind of jinxed the tournament. Anyways, I did feel that way. And I don't usually say stuff like that. So it literally just came out because that's how I felt. And I do remember that feeling. And I would love to get back there. I know Iga's there right now. I think she won Warsaw today.
Yep.
Like, it's incredible what she's doing. And I really want to get to that point.
When you watch Iga, do you recognize yourself in that? Like, you're like, I remember what that felt like?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's definitely a good feeling. It comes with momentum, playing matches, you know, being healthy. And that's not really what I've had over the last few years. So, you know, I'm hoping to at least play 3 matches in a row that I win, you know, and then have that 4th. That's what happened at Miami and then freaking got injured, you know? Just bad luck. I don't know.
When you talk about 2019, like, how much of you is trying to figure out what the recipe was and recreate that recipe, and how much is trying to come up with a new recipe that's just as good?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not the same person like I am in 2019, and I have to recognize that, whether it's ranking, whether it's age. You know, people know me now, they know how to, in a way, they know my weaknesses, they know my strengths, and they know how to play me compared to 2019. I was the newcomer. So I have to tell myself, look, like, that's inevitable at this point. I just have to go out there, play my best tennis, do as well as I can, not put too much pressure on myself, because I feel like that's what I've been doing. And the main thing in 2019 was I literally was just going for it. I say that a lot. And I said it in, where did I say? I said, F it in Wimbledon. Actually, I can't believe I said that. But it was kind of like a fuck it attitude. Nothing mattered but my tennis. And now I feel like there's so much more going on that I really have to just squeeze it into one. But I'm hoping to be able to get that recipe soon.
We see this a lot with players like, I mean, maybe most recently, Emma Raducanu, who wins US Open more out of nowhere than yours. You built up to a big title for it. And then has like a tough time dealing with the attention and the spotlight and the expectation of having a relatively thin resume. Again, hers much more than yours even. And then being expected to back it up and like that. Like, do you see that, when you look at her, do you see that as a thing? And other people have obviously had, I can list off people who've won a Grand Slam and haven't found it easy to replicate either immediately or eventually. The expectations catch up with you and the pressure catches up with you from internal, external, everything.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that us tennis players at the beginning, well, most of us at least, we just play the sport because we love it. We don't necessarily want to become famous or want to have all this attention, but then you find out that it's all a part of it. And personally, I'm not the biggest fan. Yeah, I may look natural and all of that, but it is time consuming. It really sucks your energy as well. And some things that people might say can go to your head. We're all human at the end of the day. And, you know, you think, like I just said, you think, you know, 2019 was good, but I'm only 19. It could only get better. But you never think about everything else that comes with it. And I feel that you just have to, like, find your way on how to deal with that stuff. Like, social media as well, it's the biggest it's ever been. You know, over the years, like, even 5-10 years ago, like, it changed so much. And I feel like the focus is so much on that, you know, with sponsors and, you know, having to keep up with your fans and all of that. But then you end up seeing like a negative comment, but you also see all these positive ones, but then you see that negative one and it's over. Like all the other ones don't even matter. I feel that for me, if I stay away as much as I can from social media, if I surround myself with people that I know I can trust, because that's also hard when you get to a point. People were messaging me from like, you know, from elementary school, like, oh my God, Bianca, like, remember when we were best friends? Like that kind of thing. I'm like, yeah, but where were you all these other years, you know? So it really depends, but it's hard. Like tennis is a very, very tough sports in general, but I feel like tennis specifically, because it's so technical. Like your serve can work well one day and then the next day you forget how to surf. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And everyone, all the just the noise from the outside doesn't help. I mean, even if it is, like you said, like a largely positive chorus of sort of buzz in the background, it still doesn't help you with your technical. I mean, it can maybe help you believe, but the technical kinds of stuff, it just is, it's noise.
Exactly. And I wanted to mention one thing. Fuck, I lost my train of thought. It was about social media. I forgot.
How much do you actually wind up checking these sorts of things?
Like zero. Like I just go on to post. That's it. Like I don't look at, like I follow people obviously, but I just look at maybe some of my friends' posts, but never what people comment about me ever.
Well, if you remember what it was, you can come back and say.
Yeah.
And then my last question, I guess you were talking about 2019 now. So with that, having said that, super, super high bar for yourself there, how do you sort of measure success for yourself, let's just say for the rest of 2023?
Yeah.
Like how do you set what is a fair bar, fair to yourself, but also at the same time wanting to be ambitious and knowing what you think you're capable of and balancing that?
Yeah, I know that I can win when I want to win in a way. Obviously, there are other factors in that play in that, but I feel that if I'm really focused, I feel that I can beat anybody, and if I'm healthy, of course. So that's always in the back of my head, winning. But the main thing is the process towards that, and I feel that what's been helping me is not putting pressure on myself, as easy as that can sound. Going out there and just having fun, like really enjoying myself, playing with the crowd, do little things with the crowd maybe just to kind of relax me. Look at my team more, because when I don't, I kind of just get into my own bubble and they're super, super chill. They'll laugh, they'll do something funny just to like get me out of that mindset. And stay healthy, like prevent as much as I can, because hasn't been easy for me.
No, well, hopefully it gets easier in the future. Thank you, Bianca.
Thank you.
So thank you to Bianca, and thank you all for listening. Have more content coming back in the weeks to come, hopefully through the US Open. As the book winds down and NCR ramps back up, looking forward to having this be a more regular programming here. Bye, y'all.